All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're tuned in to Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk, live every weekday on the Nation Network YouTube.
Philip Broberg back with the big club. I have five alarming stats, three encouraging signs. Bag Milk's going to stop by, and we're going to do a little Black Friday shopping for our beloved Edmonton Oilers. There's a lot to get to on a Friday edition of Oilers Nation every day. So let's jump right into the lead. As always, we are coming to you live from the Sports Closet Studio, sportscloset.ca. They do have some Black Friday deals up if you head over to their website or check them out in store as well. St. Albert Mall, Kingsway Mall, and Sherwood Park Mall. Maybe some fresh Canada gear before their big match against Croatia on Sunday. And in the wise words of John Herdman, the team's manager, F Croatia. I think that's a fitting thing to toss into the show quickly here. All right, it is Black Friday. We're going to talk about the Broberg thing in a second, but I wanted to start today off on a bit of a fun note. Black Friday, when you get some shopping done, get some good deals as well. So what would you buy the Edmonton Oilers right now? Earlier today on Daily Faceoff Live, Matt Larkin said he would buy them in his prime version of Curtis Joseph. If there was a way to bring back Cujo from the early 2000s and plop him between the pipes for today's Edmonton Oilers and give them some stability between the pipes, Larkin said he would pay whatever price on Black Friday to make that happen. Liam, I'm going to bring you in here. First off, lovely kit. Rocking the England kit.
The retro edition of the England kit. I can't even remember what year this from, but I knew, no, it's coming home. It's football, not soccer, Tyler, today. Yes. Come on, England.
It's been, Twitter's been very funny with all of that today. So I want to ask you, before I give my answer, unless you want me to give my answer first, but what would you buy the Oilers on Black Friday?
I actually have one. I would buy them a healthy Oscar Clefbaum. That's what I would go with today.
Right to the heart.
I think that's a good one. I you know, Matt Larkin inspired me because I was trying to think of something that was like could actually happen. I don't think a healthy Oscar Clefbaum is going to happen, unfortunately, but that's what I would wish for, a healthy Oscar Clefbaum. Someone just put in the chat, Chris Pronger. That wouldn't be bad either.
Yeah, I mean, in his prime, Chris Pronger, if you could afford it, absolutely. 10 out of 10, would love that. For me, I went with a more like literal, like something I could actually purchase for this team. Just a big old crate of 5-Hour Energies or Red Bulls or the energy drink of your choosing. So this team can finally get off to good starts in hockey games. It seems like every night they are either giving up the first goal or they are taking the first penalty and falling behind the eight ball almost immediately. I would buy this team just a big old crate, big, big case of energy drinks so that they never start another game slow.
I wonder if they use those, you know, those little sniff things that give you like a little burst up the nose.
Yeah, that's a very terrible description.
Hopefully, yeah, the smelling salts. You know, just toss those down the bench. Let everyone take a couple before the game, and then eyes wide open, you're dialed in. Like, maybe that's what they got to do.
Maybe smelling them isn't enough. Maybe the Oilers need to start just popping them like a piece of gum. Just throw it right in, chew on it a little bit, throw up. Wake up all your other senses. I don't know. Something to start games on time. We are live on the Nation Network YouTube right now. If you're watching there, do me a solid. Hammer that like button. If you're not subscribed to the Nation Network, what are you doing? Hit the subscribe button as well. I am asking you in the YouTube chat, if you could buy anything for the Edmonton Oilers on Black Friday, what would you buy? Twisted said Chris Pronger, like you said. Reed says, I'd buy them one Chris Pronger in his prime as well as a Jason Smith in his prime. So maybe you're getting like a BOGO. Ooh, you buy Pronger, they'll throw in Smith for you as well. Reed also says a 2006 Dwayne Rollison. CG is in and says, a must win tomorrow. Need clean passes through the neutral zone. Forecheck hard, for the love of God. Defend in all capitals. Davin says, when the Oilers do score first, it always feels like it happens in the first 2 minutes. Man, getting an early goal tomorrow would be big. We're gonna table the talk about tomorrow morning's game against the New York Rangers, because we will have an extended version of the Sherwood Ford Giant pregame show coming to you live from Soho tomorrow, where we are having our brunch for Ben party, which is sold out, by the way, as well. So stick taps to all the nation citizens who are coming out to the party tomorrow. And I will be there doing this version of the show. Puck drop is at 11. The show is going to start at 10 tomorrow morning. So make sure you tune in here on the YouTube as well as on our Twitter and our Facebook for a 1 hour version of the pregame show. We do have news that Philip Broberg has been called up to the Edmonton Oilers. Markus Niemelainen is going down to Bakersfield. Mark Spector saying that Niemelainen is going down with a... The organization wants him to work on his play with the puck on his stick. Spector saying too much glass and out for the year 2022. And I actually think I kind of agree with that. I get it. Broberg, everyone loves him because he lays out some big, big hits. And that's exciting, right? It catches your eye when that happens. He doesn't make a lot of great breakout passes. He doesn't move that well. He's fine, but I saw people when I retweeted the news replying and saying like, oh, this blue line just got even softer. Oh, no. And I don't know if I like fully understand the outrage here. Again, I get it. Markus Niemelainen lays some big hits and the Oilers need to be tougher to play against. But if Philip Broberg is going to help you get the puck out of your zone cleaner, that's much more valuable than one or two big hits every couple of games. So I like the move to bring up Philip Broberg. I see Chris was asking, how much hockey has Broberg played this year? Well, 7 American League regular season games. He's got 4 points in those games as well. All reports are he's looked decent. Liam, what do you think of the decision to bring up Broberg?
Yeah, I guess on Niemelainen quickly, has he really been the same since Nashville? When he tried to lay out Ekholm, I feel like I haven't noticed him as much as I did for the first couple of games, and like with his physicality and stuff. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't disagree with the decision to send him down. I think Broberg is probably an upgrade on the third pairing at the moment over what's kind of been playing there. He's done really well in Bakersfield in his return. Like, granted, he's only played 4 games, but he's playing like very, very high in minutes, close to 30 minutes a night. So he's definitely got his touches. I know a lot of people were kind of saying like, oh, maybe he should stay longer. And it's like, well, he's probably an NHL player and this team is struggling massively right now. So maybe there's just an extra spark there. And that's what the Oilers are trying to get with Broberg. And eventually, like, he was going to come up anyway. And like we said multiple times on the show, he was pretty much had a spot on this team until he worked his way out of it. So they do obviously believe he's an NHL player.
Yeah, they do. And I think that's the bottom line here. Markus Niemelainen is fine, but at this point, and I'm not saying he can't be a quality third pairing guy for this team down the line. Right now, the results you're getting with him are replacement level. And with Philip Broberg, I think there's potential for him to be greater than a replacement level defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. So give that guy a look. There might be growing pains. He hasn't played a lot in the NHL. That's fine. I mean, we're seeing it with a guy like Evan Bouchard. But if Broberg can come in and be a quality third pairing guy for you, this blue line suddenly looks a lot different than it did with the Nima line and Murray pairing. So actually, it's worth noting Broberg was on the ice today at the Prudential Center in New Jersey, which is where the Oilers were practicing. So there is a chance we see Philip Broberg in the lineup tomorrow. I want to move along to our second bullet point on today's show. Everyone's been making, you know, a big fuss about where the Oilers are at right now in the season, and understandably so. It's been underwhelming. And underwhelming might be an underwhelming way to put it if you're an Oilers fan. It's not great. So I went ahead and I dug up five alarming stats for the Oilers. And where am I going with this? We are going to flush out all of the bad juju. We're going to get these five alarming stats out of the way, and then we're going to rip them up. We're going to forget about them, and we are going to move on to what should be a very exciting final 75% of the regular season for the Oilers. So that top stat, the most alarming stat, only 23% of teams outside of the playoffs on American Thanksgiving get in. That's not good. MoneyPuck.com has the Oilers at a 20% chance of making the postseason. That is very alarming. They are on the outside looking in right now in the Pacific Division. 20 points. They win their games in hand. They at least move into a tie with the LA Kings. So that's a team that's catchable. I'll have more on this in just a second, but it's how the 500 isn't like fire the coach bad, but it's how they've kind of gotten here. They've given up the seventh most shots against per 60 at 5v5, according to Natural Stat Trick. They bleed chances, and they bleed high quality chances as well. That's resulted in them giving up the third most 5-on-5 goals against in the month of November. That's also very bad. This team cannot defend right now. That is on the six defensemen. That is on the 12 forwards. It's partially on the goaltending as well. You know, there's been a lot of nights where their goalies just haven't bailed them out. Mainly Jack Campbell. Again, we'll touch on that. But as a whole, the goaltending hasn't been like atrocious. It's not like this team is 26th, 27th, 28th in save percentage. They're 17th in 5v5 save percentage. You know, they're a couple decimal points away from being in the top half of the league in 5v5 save percentage. They are 500 getting average goaltending. The goaltending, my point here is the goaltending could be worse actually for this team, which is not good. Stuart Skinner has stolen them a couple of games and they're only 500 on the year. So that's why I threw that one in the alarming stats column. They're being outscored and outshot pretty badly when McDavid and Draisaitl are off the ice as well. Being outscored 13-7 at 5-on-5 with 97 and 29 off the ice. 13-7. Giving up almost twice as many goals as they score when McDavid and Draisaitl are off the ice. They're also being outshot 183-159. Not good enough. The depth of this team was supposed to be better this year, and it's not. Those are some very alarming stats with this Oilers team. But like I said, we're done with them now. Okay? We're just going to forget about the first 20 games. We're going to put it behind us and we are going to look forward. And I have some reasons to be optimistic about the Oilers. Three encouraging signs. We are starting with that top one. I know I said the other day on Oilers Nation Radio, Stanley Cup contenders, word for word, I said Stanley Cup contenders don't give a shit about their schedule. They just win. Maybe the Oilers aren't in that category. And it is worth noting that in the month of December, they play more weak teams than they play top tier teams. I broke it down for you. There are 10 teams in the NHL with a points percentage of 550 or better. The Oilers play 15 games in the month of December. Only two of them come against those top 10 teams in the league. It's Seattle and it's the Dallas Stars. Okay, so only two of your 15 games in the month of December are against elite opponents. That's encouraging. The other side of it, there are 12 teams in the NHL with a worse than 500 points percentage, okay? So teams who fail to get a point in every second game, more or less. The Oilers play six of their 15 games in the month of December against those bottom feeder teams, the bottom third of the NHL. So only two games against elite teams, six games against bad teams, the other seven against teams who are more or less in the same spot as you. You're looking at your game against Calgary. You're looking at three against the Minnesota Wild in there. And Montreal would technically be in that grouping as well. But the Oilers play more bad teams than good teams in December. That is very encouraging. They should be. It's a skill to beat bad teams. We've seen for years that the Oilers love playing down to their opponents. But you'd rather play bad teams than good teams. That's the bottom line. Their 5-on-5 shooting percentage will go up. Right now, it's just like a hair over 7%. Last year, it was over 8.5%. Right now, they are 30th in the NHL. Last season, they were 16th. This team is too good and too talented, even when you just consider McDavid and Draisaitl. Too good and too talented to stay 30th in the NHL in 5-on-5 shooting percentage. More pucks will start going in. You can look at that last game at the Islanders, where a lot of expected goal models had them scoring 5. They got none. The Oilers are, in a way, getting a little unlucky right now. Their PDO isn't very high. That's kind of the measure of luck that a lot of people use. More pucks are going to start going in for this team, is my point. As long as they keep up the same baseline level of play, which we can all agree isn't that good, but even if they only do the baseline level of play, more pucks should start going in. Of their 12 players who have 20 shots on goal or more so far this season, 4 of them are shooting under 5%. Bouchard and Puljujarvi are the two big ones. Those guys should start scoring soon. They need to start scoring soon for this team. The other two are CeCe and Kulak, so their shooting percentages will probably stay there. But Puljujarvi and Bouchard are two guys whose shooting percentages should start going up right away. The team as a whole should as well. So shooting percentages should start going up. That'll result in more victories. And the final thing is that the Pacific Division is very average. Very, very, very average. LA is meh. Like I said, the Oilers are 4 points back of them with 2 games in hand. You can catch the LA Kings and you haven't been playing very good so far this season. The Seattle Kraken, I don't think they're legit. They are going to fall upon hard times. The Vegas Golden Knights are playing out of their minds right now. I think they're going to start coming down to the middle a little bit. I talked about PDO, the Oilers fighting some bad luck. How about the Kraken and the Golden Knights both being top 5 in the entire NHL for PDO? Two of, statistically, the luckiest or most unsustainable teams in the NHL are in the Oilers division. That bodes well for this Oilers team. I think Calgary will start to really rack up some points. That is a problem. The bottom third of this division features 3 of the worst teams in the NHL, with the Canucks, the Sharks, and the Anaheim Ducks as well, which brings me to my final point. So far this season, when you look at the Western Conference, the bad teams, San Jose, Anaheim, Arizona, Chicago, and we'll throw Vancouver in there, 5 teams. Seattle has played that group 4 times. They've gone 1-2-1. They've actually been bad against bad teams, which is a little surprising. Vegas has played that group 6 times already. They're 5-1-0 in those 6 games. A big reason why Vegas is, as of right now, running away with the Pacific Division, they've played the bottom 5 teams in the conference 6 times already, and they've gotten 10 points from them. So they've beaten up on the bad teams. Edmonton hasn't had that opportunity. Edmonton's only played that group of 5 teams twice. Again, San Jose, Anaheim, Arizona, Chicago, Vancouver. They've only played them twice. That's a bit of a point towards how difficult their schedule has been, and also that there will be a lot of winnable games down the stretch here. I know I'm running late. I know I got to get to bag milk. But the Oilers have only played those teams twice. They've beaten them both times. You got to beat up bad teams. You got to beat the teams in your division. The Oilers haven't had a lot of chances against bad teams. Haven't had a lot of chances against the teams in their division. Last year, that was a big reason why they did well. They beat up on bad teams. They beat up on the teams in their division. So those are my reasons to be, those are my encouraging signs, is what I'm trying to say. It's Friday and I'm late getting to this, and I want to get his take on everything we've been breaking down so far. So let's bring in bag milk.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Friday, so you know what that means? It's time for the Bro Down with Bag Milk.
Sorry I'm late getting to you, buddy. How's it going?
You should be sorry. You should be sorry. I'm sitting here in my office, staring at stuff, thinking maybe you forgot about me. I saw my name on there. I saw it. It's there. It's highlighted in orange now. Where were you, Tyler?
I can never forget about you. I was going to intro you as the man who's back from chasing ostriches in Tabor, Alberta.
Yep. I was down there. I grabbed one out the window of the car, but you know what? When you grab a, I don't know how heavy an ostrich is. Like, are they like 200 pounds? If you grab a 200 pound bird by the neck, probably. I have no idea. I know they're massive. I just have no idea how big they are.
Have you fully recovered from yesterday's real life podcast, which was just a whole bunch of nonsense?
Honestly, I loved it. I don't know why we tend to think that those are bad episodes, but they're just not. By the way, an ostrich, 300 pounds, Tyler. I just Googled it.
Yeah.
They are big birds. Anyway, but like, it was fun. There's nothing I love more. It's music to my ears. It's like sweet, sweet poetry when everybody starts yelling at each other. It makes me happy.
Chalmers was just on another level yesterday. It was so funny. Yesterday on the show, I started things off by, 25% mark of the season, giving out some player grades. How many Oilers would you give like a passing grade to for the start of the season? I had Skinner, McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, and Hyman was in there. So five. Who would you have in there?
I mean, like, if I have to pick someone else other than your five, like, can I pick Evander Kane? He hasn't played in 2 weeks, but like, yeah. I pick him. I don't know, man. Like, I'm looking at the stats right now, and I just don't have a whole lot of them because I never would have expected us to be at the quarter mark of the season and Derek Ryan would be outscoring Jesse Puljujarvi, Kaylor Yamamoto, Dylan Holloway. You know, like,
and Evan Bouchard.
I wouldn't have seen this coming. And Evan Bouchard. Like, there are so many guys that just need somebody to bank one in off their face or their ass or their leg or something right now. It is shocking. And I heard you talking about PDO. I'm like, man, we really need a PDO heater here. Really, really badly.
Yeah, man. And like, again, I listed off the five names you'd give a passing grade to. Isn't it damning that like, that's it? Like, there's not even anyone you could aside from maybe Kane, I guess. But again, he's banged up. And he scored five goals. Three of them came in one game.
That's
damning. I mean, that you look at the rest of this roster and it's nothing. Like, no one's doing anything.
Can I give a passing grade to Klim Kostin? Like, we're really scraping the barrel here. But like, outside of your list, I don't have anybody. Like, I I'm looking through everybody right now and I need more from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Broberg's coming up to the big club. Marcus Niemelainen's going down. I saw some people being like, oh, you just lost the only piece of toughness you have on your blue line with Niemelainen. For me, I'm less worried about that. I'm more concerned about just having six defensemen who can keep up and play well. And I want to see what Broberg can do with an extended look at the NHL level. I'm trying not to get, too optimistic here. I think we need to probably cool our expectations about young players stepping in and making an impact. But I think this is like a fine move. I'm not losing sleep over Marcus Niemelainen going to the American League.
I understand people being upset though, like he just adds a different flavor on the back end than maybe like it would be nice if we had more guys like Niemelainen that you just knew on a nightly basis they were going to at least line somebody up. So in that respect, I get it. But I'm also with you in that the Oilers just need, I don't care who it is. They just need players that can keep the puck out of the zone. Play defense. Like, that is the role. You are the defender. You play defense first. And I don't see a lot of guys doing that right now. And it also takes into the account the forwards. They need to come back and support the defense more. Like, the Oilers' D-zone coverage right now is a hot mess. And I don't know that Broberg is going to fix it. I think he can maybe help. But ultimately, the players on the ice, the players on the bench, the players in the room, it's going to be up to them to actually do something that makes an impact.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like, we've talked about a lot of trades and what do they need to add, all of this, but there also is the element of like this team with the players in the room needs to be more consistent and needs to be giving better results, right? Like, I've mentioned a few of them. We had Puljujarvi and Bouchard as two guys who haven't scored or who only have the one goal between the two of them so far. I think you need a little bit more from Ryan McLeod. I think you need more consistency from other pieces on the back end. Like, this team, this roster, I think it's too talented to be 10 and 10. I don't know if a heater's necessarily coming, but.
Let me ask you a question. The other night in the B-cast, the Oilers lost to the New York Islanders 3-0.
Yeah.
Ken Holland was taking a lot of the blame in the chat on the B-cast. And I was like, listen, I don't think it's Ken Holland, right? Like, that we should be pointing at. There's a lot of guys that have done zip. And I don't think any of us in September or August would have expected this roster, the forward specifically, to produce so little offense outside of the usual suspects. Where, like, do you think Holland put together a faulty roster, or is this just the players on the bench? They need to be better.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say Holland put together a faulty roster because, I don't know, like the Nuge contract right now looks great this season. He's making $5 million. He kills penalties, plays on the power play, might score you 30 goals. Zach Hyman deal is still looking good. Five and a bit, it's going to score you 30 goals. Evander Kane, if he would have stayed healthy, would have scored you 30 goals this year. Hell, he might come back in February and still end up scoring you 30 goals. So I think the way he's built up the top six is great. I think the bottom six not producing. I think Ken Holland put a lot of good pieces in place here. Ryan McLeod should be scoring more than he has. Jesse Puljujärvi should be scoring more than he has. Kyler Yamamoto, if he was healthy, maybe he would be scoring a little bit more. Like, there are good pieces here today. And the only area is maybe that third pairing lefty spot. That's the one thing where I'd be like, hey, we knew that wasn't good enough coming into the year, and maybe you should have addressed that. But then I'd sit there and say, with what money? He signed Kulak for a 2.7 whatever. He couldn't afford anything else.
I almost wonder though, like, well, hindsight obviously is 2020 here, but like, don't you think part of you, Tyler, and I'm not like that third left pairing spot, wouldn't that have been better served by a guy like a known commodity, like a Chris Russell over a Ryan Murray? Like, at least with Chris Russell, you know that no matter what happens, if he is out there, he is going to throw his body in front of pucks like no one's ever done in this league before. And Ryan Murray, just like, he's so soft back there in terms of the lack of physicality. And I don't see him doing enough well to have earned that spot. Like, that spot is a big hole to me. Like, Nieminen Lining got sent down and it'll be fine because he's going to be playing in Bakersfield. But like, I could have easily seen Murray being waived in that exact same position.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't think Murray is a bad player by any stretch. But when you look at what's on this Oilers blue line on the right side, Bouchard struggling in his own end. Barry traditionally is not great in his own end. And then you went and signed Ryan Murray, who is also not great in his own end. And that's part of the problem is, you know, if that was Chris Russell, at least you'd look at him and be like, hey, block shots, decent in his own end, can usually get pucks out okay-ish at a decent rate. Like,
skates well,
all of that. And you'd go, okay, if you have to pair him up with a Tyson Barry or an Evan Bouchard, maybe the results won't be that bad. But now you just have too many guys who are a liability in their own side of the blue line.
The Oilers, like, so in their last 10 games, Tyler, I'm putting together the GDB for tomorrow's game against the Rangers.
Yeah.
Last 10 games, the Oilers have given up 40 goals and only scored 25. Now, I don't have a degree in advanced mathematics, but that's a problem. You're giving up four mm-hmm. goals a game. That is not good by any measure.
Speaking of tomorrow's game against the Rangers, who would you go to between the pipes?
I think I'd go back to Skinner. I don't think Jack Campbell was the problem whatsoever in against New York Islanders. The first goal, Barry did not have his man on that shorthanded attempt. Second goal bounced in off Bouchard. Third goal, say whatever you want. But I don't think Jack Campbell was the issue against the Islanders. However, he's still working his way back in. You know,
yeah.
I'd like him to have a little bit of extra practice. I'd like him to have some more, start feeling good about his game, because he should feel reasonable about the way he played against the Islanders. Skinner, however, has been playing well all season long. Oilers cannot get swept on this road trip. I'm going to the guy who has given you more consistent goaltending to this point in the season. That for me is Stuart Skinner. Who you put in?
Yeah, I just based on how he played earlier in the week, I don't think you can go wrong with I wouldn't be upset if they went with Jack Campbell is kind of what I'm saying. I think it'd be a fine choice. But if the decision was up to me, I think I'd go back to Stuart Skinner as well. You're right. You can't get swept on this road trip. You need to put a stop here before this skid hits three games. So you go with your best guy. And right now, your best guy is Stuart Skinner. You're back on home ice against Florida next week. Maybe then you go with Jack Campbell. But yeah, I think it probably
Skinner
is.
Skinner two in a row. You know?
Yeah.
Like, why not? I don't think right now where Campbell is at so far in his game, again, played fine the other day. I don't think it's the worst idea ever just to let him start building up some confidence in practice and feeling good about his game. Skinner already feels good about his game.
Yeah. Yeah. You could argue that his last game out was probably his worst of the year. And Twisted here in the chat says, got to give Skinner a chance to redeem himself after last game. Skinner earned that. Has earned that. And I think that's fair as well. Reed's calling it a Skinner revenge game. And yeah, it's probably not sitting well with Stuart Skinner that he had that turnover, fell down on the other goal. Part of the reason the Oilers lost, like he probably wants another chance to get in there. So the chat seems to agree that you roll with Stuart Skinner. It is an 11 a.m. puck drop, and we are going to be doing Brunch for Ben down at Soho. Going to be doing an hour-long edition of this show live from Soho as well. We sold that out, which earlier today I said stick taps to the nation's citizens because I love when we put on events like this that are for a good cause. And I love seeing the way the community just totally comes through with it.
My favorite thing about working at Oilers Nation is the events that we put on and having a room full of people and just seeing everybody interact or meeting people that they only speak to on the internet. And the fact that we're raising some money for a really good cause while we're at it, it just shows the dedication that nation citizens have and just their willingness to help support us in these initiatives. And I couldn't be more grateful that we're sold out tomorrow. It's going to be a great morning in Soho. I'm really looking forward to it.
Can't wait to see you then. We'll also have a new episode of Oilers Nation Radio dropping later this afternoon. So I'll chat with you again in an hour here, BM.
See you in a little
bit. There you go. Let's get to the wrap for today's show. Mike makes a good point. Murray stays up so he can sit in the press box. Broberg and Nemo need to play, whether it's in Edmonton or Bakersfield. And I agree with that. You know, Nemo doesn't need waivers. Send him down. Let him play 20 minutes a night. I wouldn't have waived Murray. I agree. Get these young guys playing some meaningful minutes. I'd be doing the same thing with Dylan Holloway right now, but that is not the case. He is still up with the Oilers, and I would fully expect him to be in the lineup tomorrow against the New York Rangers. Liam, let's get to our Betway picks of the day. No hockey yesterday. Our guy Tony Pollard didn't come through for us with the receiving yards either. So let's bounce back with some hockey picks. What do you like?
I am chasing the juice. I am going with money line picks tonight. The Detroit Red Wings against the Arizona Coyotes plus 115. They've hit it three in a row. May as well keep hope for a fourth. And then you look at Dallas against Winnipeg at home. They've hit it three in the last four. So there's a lot of games on today. So there's a lot to pick from, but Thanksgiving weekend in the US. So hopefully a couple of US teams can bring us a little bit of luck.
Yeah. I don't hate either of those spots. I think the Stars against the Jets on home ice. Dallas has been absolutely lights out this season. Like, what's their home record? I feel like their home record is like one of the best in the NHL. Now they're 6-2-1 at home, so they've been decent on home ice. The Jets are just 500 on the road. That makes sense. The Red Wings have been playing some really good hockey as of late. They've gotten points in 8 of their last 10. The Coyotes are starting to fall apart a little bit, or I mean, they're just doing Coyote shit. They're an easy team to bet against, so I don't dislike that either. My picks today at Daily Faceoff were both for the morning games or the afternoon games, depending on where you are. I had a couple of shot props in Calgary, Washington. At Rasmus Anderson, he doesn't have one yet. I have John Carlson. Oh boy, he doesn't have one yet. So that's not going good. Outside the over in Montreal, Chicago. They've got one goal in the first 10 minutes. So it's going okay there. Anyways, shout out to Betway. 19 plus, please play responsibly. What were you going to say?
I'm good. I've got England game in the corner of my eye, so I'm trying to interact with everything here.
Yeah, you go. Get back to watching England. Try to bring it home, and we'll put a wrap on the show today. If you want more Oilers talk, new episode of Oilers Nation Radio is going to drop in about 2.5 hours. Here, heading down to the office now to record that with Dan, Rick, Liam, and Bagged Milk. So look for that wherever you get your podcasts from. And also tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, live right here on the Nation Network YouTube. We are going to be ready to roll with an hour-long edition of the Giant pregame show. So we will chat with you then. Shout out to our friends at the Sports Closet. Shout out to Sherwood Ford as well. And we will chat tomorrow. Have a good Friday night, Oilers fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.